Let's go.
Okay, let's go.
You're listening to the Trent Speaks Podcast Takeover. Who's today's guest? What's today's takeaway? What is the meaning of life? All that and more with your host.
Welcome back to another episode of the Trent Speaks Podcast. Today's a very special pilot episode. It's a second pilot, really, for you longtime listeners out there. But today we're going to pilot the concept of a takeover episode. And so allowing some other guests to have their opportunity to speak. But today we're not going to go quite that far because our first guest on the takeover series is going to be the man, the myth himself. It's Trent. Welcome, friend. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. It's weird to be a guest on my own podcast.
You know, I think that, like many things in the world, this is just a new experience for you. And anyway, today I'm wearing the shirt, so clearly I'm the host.
Well, and it's going to be weird not being the host and not trying to take over that side. But, well, I'm not even going to say more. I'll let you lead everything.
Perfect. So you were switching right into host mode. We got to swap it up today. So before we got into recording our call, I presented Trent a list of a few questions that I've thought of, asked him if he had anything that he wanted to talk about himself, and he told me that, well, I thought that you had all that planned, which, to be fair, that's what I told him. So I've got about six or seven questions here, and we're just going to start with the first one. I think it's the most logical. Trent, how did you even start doing a podcast in the first place?
Yeah, so it's a funny story because, I don't know, in my friend group, I've always kind of been like the funny one, and not to like sound like arrogant or conceited or anything like that. But I feel like I've always been that type of person to kind of like make the jokes, like make light of things. It's just my personality. It's just who I am. I want people to be having fun. And I've always put others before myself in the fact of like, if other people aren't having fun or aren't laughing, then I don't feel like I should be having fun either. And my buddy Travis had always told me like, you should be a comedian or something, like you should blah, blah, blah. And then this whole topic of me wanting to do motivational speaking and everything kind of started. And I don't remember fully where the idea came from, but Travis had said to me, you should start a podcast. Like I think that you'd be really good at it. I think people would listen, like you'd have good content for people. And so as I started thinking more and more about it, I was like, okay, like if I was going to do a podcast, what would I do it about? And I had a friend who did a podcast in the Grand Rapids, Michigan area. And so I kind of reached out to him and I said, hey, like I'm thinking about starting a podcast. Do you have any like tips or anything like that that you can share with me? And so he kind of shared some things with me. And one of the big things he shared was you need a niche. You need a purpose of your podcast that people can expect every time they listen to it. And I said, okay. So I started brainstorming, what is my niche? And as I started to kind of reflect on the motivational talk that I had written, one of the big pieces out of that was sharing the stories of others. And I truly believe that every single person has a story to share, whether they believe it or not. What they may not see is that they have a plethora of experience or knowledge or things that other people don't know about that can be shared with the world and kind of open up a new door, open up a light on things that people haven't seen before. And so that's where the birth of the idea of the podcast came from, was sharing the stories of others. And so that's why the purpose has always been having guests on and sharing their stories. Well, for the longest time, I was like, you know what? Like, yeah, podcast, haha, good idea. But I would say for at least a year, no joke, Travis would constantly bring up out of the blue, okay, you should start a podcast. When are you going to start a podcast? And I got so sick of hearing him that I said, fine, I'm going to go out, buy equipment, buy a new computer, and I'm going to start this podcast so that he'll shut up about it. And I was very happy to have had a long year span of consecutive podcasts. And I've had my times where I've had to take a hiatus, and I've done so for my own personal reasons and my own mental health reasons. And I wish I could say it's been a consecutive podcast the entire time, but I don't regret those breaks that I've taken because I've needed them both both for myself and I think for the podcast, in order to make sure that I'm always delivering the best content I can deliver.
So in some ways you could almost say that, like, this is a spike cast, right? Like Travis just pushed you into it until eventually he's like, fine, I'm going to do it. Just so he stops bothering me about it. So like the development from there to like having all the merch for it. So the shirt that I'm wearing and the hat that you're wearing today, is kind of far. So like at what point do you think it transitioned from like, I'm going to do this just so he'll stop bugging me about it, to like, this is a really like a thing that I want to do?
Yeah. I think the merch piece of it really came from the motivational speaking piece, to be honest, which is almost backwards in a way, because the motivational speaking piece is still trying to take off. It's not that it hasn't taken off, because I've had opportunities, I've been paid to speak. I feel like I'm getting there. But I started to get shirts and everything in preparation for motivational speaking. I have 200 Frisbees sitting down in my in-laws' basement right now that haven't ever been touched, because I'm like, I'm going to need these someday, and they're still untouched. So who knows if they'll ever be touched or not, but really the shirts were to be that promotional piece of the podcast. Knowing that the podcast was what I was focusing on at the time. And so once I ran out of shirts, I've been saying for a long time, I'd love to get another order of shirts, but it's just money is a thing. And same with hats. This hat that I got for myself was probably somewhere around, I don't know, almost $30, which sounds, it's not what I normally spend on a hat, but given that it was branded for myself, and the company that I went through, they're more of like a ma and pa type of company. It's a little bit bigger, but they have that background and that feel, which is kind of why I went through them. And I'd love to get more hats for people. I know people have been wanting hats. I'm the only person with a Trent Speaks hat right now. I had done an order form at one point for the t-shirts, which, funny enough, I kind of actually just stumbled upon out of nowhere the other day. So it's been a thought to kind of do another order form and say, hey, would you want a hat? Would you want a t-shirt? And do it that way. It's just really, is there the interest? I don't know.
Well, I think that would probably be a question for the listeners. So maybe we can get a poll in there somewhere that they can click, let you know, or possibly on the Facebook page. I can tell you from my own firsthand experience, of course, that I get asked pretty regularly, who's Trent and what does he speak about? You have to tell him, I mean, it's a little bit of everything. Trips to Iceland with his wife. Sometimes it's other people speaking. So, you know, you usually have to kind of feel it out and see where it goes, but it's available on Apple iTunes, and you can find them on Facebook.
And Spotify.
How could I forget?
And iHeartRadio.
I didn't know people actually used iHeartRadio.
Well, I don't know if they do, but I'm on there.
Well, that's fair. I used to hear those ads all the time, but I never actually got iHeartRadio. Some of the questions that I have here in mind are things that really jump out to me about things that I've recognized about you over the 2 or 3 years we've known each other now. And so the first thing I really want to touch on today is your like complete lack of a fashion sense. And this like relates kind of in a lot of ways. I think the first one is that very first hall opening when we had to create the video, like introducing all the essential staff members. I had to make a little Snapchat video of everybody with the filters saying like, who are you? And like, tell them something fun about yourself. And you had said, my name's Trent and I have fun socks on. Which to be fair, I think you have a variety of patterned dress socks just about every day, which on one hand makes me a little concerned about like your shoes, because like there's not a ton of sweat wicking there. But I guess like, tell me about the socks. Where did those come from? How did that collection start? How many pairs do you have maybe?
Yeah. I almost spit out my sip of whiskey I just took when you said lack of fashion sense, because Leanne is probably, whenever she listens to this episode, is going to start laughing. She's going to be like, yes, someone finally noticed and talked to him about it. The socks really just started as a gift. As a kid, I always hated, and not even just as a kid, I still hate getting clothes as a gift for Christmas and everything. Usually my first question to my mom, and she takes no offense to it, is, do you have the receipt for this still? And I think that one year I just got a pair of socks that were kind of like a crazy pattern. And I was like, okay, I kind of like these. And so I kind of started like looking for socks. And I don't know if anyone remembers the store PacSun, but PacSun at the local mall used to have crazy socks. And so I would go in there and like, yeah, they're like $9 to $14 for a pair of socks, but they're crazy socks. And that's not what everyone has. And of course, this didn't start until probably, oh geez, I would say probably after college. So it's probably been something that's happened within the last 5 years, 5-6 years. And I think really the idea to continue a collection came from how much I saw people really enjoying my socks, which sounds really weird. But what I mean by that is in interviews, when I would go interview somewhere, I always show off my socks, and I do it today because that's something for people to remember. Oh yeah, that Trent kid, he had the socks on. And then I would get hired. There's two jobs I can think of off the top of my head right now that I got hired. And within my first couple of days on the job, people came up to me and they said, oh yeah, we remember your socks. And we loved them. They were so cool. Well, I would start buying them. People start gifting them to me. So over the years, I haven't done a count recently because I'm living in a different place than where half my stuff is right now. But last time I did a count, I had well over 70 different pairs of fun, crazy socks. So I have, let's see, what do I have on today? I just have some socks on. Now, these socks I actually got on vacation. I found out later after I bought them that they're actually ladies socks. However, I don't care. I still wear them because they say this meaning is bullshit. And I think that's funny. And sometimes they're appropriate. But I mean, I have socks that my beach volleyball socks I've probably had the longest. I could tell you like what socks are newer and what socks are probably like the OG socks that I have. I've only thrown out, this is going to sound terrible because I have a lot of pairs of socks that still have holes in them because it's very hard for me to part with a $9 to $14 pair of socks. I've only thrown out, I think, one pair of crazy socks that had holes in them because I just couldn't do it anymore. But yeah, over 70 pairs of fun, crazy socks. And it's just a way, and I say this in my talk too, it's a way for me to showcase my personality while still having that professional feel. And like I besides summer when I'm wearing ankle socks, with shoes, which more often than not, I'm still wearing my crazy socks. But other than that time, I don't remember the last time I wore real dress socks. I don't wear my white socks anymore. Like it's crazy socks for life. And my goal would be to reach 365 so that I would have one pair of socks for every single day of the year. That's the goal.
Except for leap years.
Oh, 366. Good one. I almost forgot.
You keep a holy pair for that. I do have to ask, based off one of the things you said there, that like you have a pair of ladies' socks. And so I do have to like ask like what the purpose of gendering socks is. Like do women have a foot deformity that I'm not aware of, or what exactly is the point there?
Yeah, it's a great question. And I wondered that too. It just means, and actually I'm wondering if I have other ladies' socks that I just don't know about because they fit the same way these do. They're just shorter. So I can tell they just don't go as high up on my ankle. But yeah, that's the only difference between like ladies socks and not ladies socks that I've noticed, at least just Fair. The fit.
I guess that would make sense. Cause like the average American woman is like 6 or so inches shorter. So like you don't want them to be knee socks.
Right. Which I don't like my knee socks. I do have a few that become knee socks and they're men's, and I hate them, but I still wear them because they're crazy socks. And maybe one day it's going to make all the hair on my legs disappear, but I don't give two shits because I have fun, crazy socks. It'll cover that up.
Perfect. So one of the things you told us earlier is that you've been specifically remembered at interviews for having crazy socks. And that's a little bit interesting to me because I specifically remember when you interviewed a point to be a hall director. So the first time that I ever met you, and I told you about this recently, the very first thing that we had, like, or you had told us is we had asked you, like, you know, how's your day going? And you said, well, my day's going pretty good. I've got my lucky suit on. I got married in this one. And I thought that was hilarious. And I've used that line myself. So like, do you specifically like wear those wedding or like do you specifically wear like your crazy socks again? So I know that after you said that, when I interviewed at the University of Kentucky, I was sure to wear my wedding suit because you're right. It was lucky. So do your socks also carry luck or is that suits only?
There is one particular pair of socks that I have worn, when I do on campuses. Now they used to be foolproof, as of late, not as much. But then again, the job market in Chicago, of course, before all this happened with coronavirus, is very saturated, which still is saturated. However, I've been job searching for over a year and have had zero luck at finding a real full-time job within the Chicagoland area. Even just getting an interview. But I would say there is one pair of socks that if I'm going to an in-person job interview that I always go to, and no matter whether they're foolproof or not anymore, they would be my Hula Girl socks. Nice. And so they are orange and they have Hula Girls on them. And I believe on the bottom, if I'm not mistaken, it says, "You knock my socks off."
Nice. Did you wear those for your wedding? Are they also lucky in that way?
You know, I did not wear those for my wedding. I do remember what ones I wore for my wedding, and they were more just like a checkered pattern, actually, of different colors. They were from Express, I believe.
Oh. But honestly, that's probably the one place to tone down the crazy socks a little bit is the formality of a wedding. So I can't say I blame you for
that. Well, I don't know. My buddy, he got married, and he got us all Red Wing socks, Detroit Red Wing socks. So I don't know. I feel like that is the trend, though, is that you get crazy socks at a wedding. Like my other friend, he got me, even though he's a Michigan State fan, God bless his soul, he got me Michigan Wolverine socks. So he finally knew what was right.
Maybe he was just protecting himself. Didn't want the bad juju on the wedding day. So sort of related to bad senses of style and socks, you are one of the only other people I know that really just like collects awful facial hair. So currently you're kind of growing it back from that honestly quite terrible mustache experiment. What led you down that path?
You know, I like to try new things. Leanne hates when I try new things. Well, Leanne would love for me to try new things with food, but I like to try new things that aren't food. I also think that Leanne gets embarrassed very easily, as opposed to me. So I could care less what people think of me and the way that I look. Leanne, you talked about fashion sense earlier. She'll look at me and be like, "That doesn't match." I think it matches, and apparently I just don't know. Or, "You're going to go out in that? Why are you wearing that? I'm not going out with you looking like that." And sometimes in my head I'm thinking, boom, I just won. But no, I like trying new things. So yeah, I did like a handlebar mustache, which apparently, according to everyone except me, was uneven. I've shaved the middle of my head and just had long hair all around the sides before. And I wore that to work for about a week because I was
the reverse mohawk.
Right. I was supposed to go to a Survivor casting call at the beginning of March, which was canceled, which I didn't realize was canceled until after I'd shaved my head that way. I was just too lazy to shave the rest of it. What else have I done? Yeah, I don't know what else. I've done some weird stuff though. I think really it's just like, try something new, see how it looks. Like who cares? I was going to dye my hair. I know you had dyed your hair. And so I went out and bought hair dye and, I was all game for it, and then Leanne came, so I had to wait. Well, what people don't know is that I wasn't going to tell Leanne. Well, I was like, you know what? I'm going to tell her. So I pull out the hair dye, and I'm like, "Leanne, I know I've been asking you like, hey, like, do you think I should dye my hair? Blah, blah, blah. And I know you've been saying no, but guess what? I already bought the hair dye. And she goes, I wondered what you spent $11 at Walgreens for. So she's here for the week and everything and just hanging out. And she goes home. Well, a week later, I had drank coffee. And me drinking coffee is always a bad idea because I don't finish until like 1, maybe 2 o'clock in the afternoon because of the pot that I make. The pot of coffee, not pot as in marijuana. And I drink this coffee. Well, I've always had caffeine affect me. I don't know why. I was up until like 4 a.m. this morning. Not this morning, but that morning.
Yeah.
And it was a week after Leanne had left. And so I'm like, you know what? I'm bored. I need something to do. I'm going to do it. I'm going to dye my hair. So I go and look, and I thought I put the hair dye in this one spot. And I was like, that's weird. It's not here. I spend the next 10 minutes tearing apart the apartment looking for the hair dye. I go back to the spot I thought it was, and it hit me. So I send Leanne a picture, and I was like, you want a war? You've got a war. Game on. Because I know Leanne stole my hair dye, because when I sent her the picture and said, I know you stole my hair dye, she said, I don't know what you're talking about, which was code for, I stole your hair dye. And I found out a couple days later, she indeed took my hair dye. And I asked her, I said, where is it? She said, I threw it away.
What a waste of $11.
That's what I said. I said, you may as well take a $10 bill and throw it away.
Terrible. They have to go buy another one.
I know. I thought about it. I was actually just at Walgreens today. I should have done it.
You should have. You know, I think that realistically for me, and it sounds like for you too, that like being married is just like an opportunity to like really in depth learn what embarrasses your spouse and just do it all the time. Cause like, what are they going to do? We're married. Where are you going to go? Right. Exactly. So I know that in my relationship, if I'm like just really determined to embarrass Katie, I shave the mutton chops and like a mustache and it looks awful. Do you have like a go-to yourself?
Oh, man, I do, but I don't. I guess for me, if we're talking just facial hair, it would be just doing the stash. Because she thinks I look like a creeper, but I actually think the stash doesn't look that bad. And if you remember, our last summer training we were at together with student staff, one of the guys from the counseling center, Jason, had actually said, Trent, your mustache actually looks really good. Like, it was a good look for me. If we're talking hair, my go-to would be to shave just the top middle of my head and leave everything else around it. But then again, then she yelled at me because I wore a hat all the time. So I don't know.
And I feel like the only places the mustache belongs are police cars and Super Troopers, which is technically still a police car now that I say that out loud. But maybe if you combine the two, it could work out pretty well. One of the things that I have here on my list that I wanted to ask you about, and you actually led us into this a while ago, is that you really wish that, or Leanne really wishes that you would be a little bit more adventurous in food. And I know that you are a particularly picky eater because like who legitimately goes to B-Dubs and gets teriyaki wings? Come on. So
that's the one who gets blazing.
Well, that's because I hate myself, but that's unrelated. Have you always been this picky eater? Or like, when did that start? Did you try something that was just like, this is awful? Or did you just never really want to try it?
See, I can't really pinpoint a point in my life where it was like, I'm going to be a picky eater now. I know that when I was younger, I wasn't as picky as I am now. And that I used to eat more. But I know that again, I don't know at what point, but I know there became a point where I was like, I ain't doing this anymore. My parents are divorced. They got divorced in the 4th grade and I was down visiting my dad. And this would have been, oh geez, I would say maybe 10 years ago or so. This would have been pre-college. And I remember sitting at the kitchen table and he had, I don't remember if it was corn on the cob or just corn that was on the plate. And I was like, I'm not eating that. And he's like, okay, well, you can sit here until you eat it then. I said, okay. So I sat at the kitchen table and stared at the corn for a few hours. I was like, I'm not eating this. And eventually I won and he caved and didn't make me continue to sit there all night. But I did not eat the corn. And it's from that, that is the only moment I can pinpoint of like, yep, that's the moment that I was like, I'm a picky eater.
So were you like 17 in that story? Cause that's what it sounds like.
No, but, but
you said pre-college.
Oh, well, maybe 16 or 17, maybe. Yeah.
That was your rebellious phase as a late teenager. It was through, yeah. You used to eat your vegetables.
Yeah. But I've been trying more food lately. I actually have a list. But the first thing that I can tell you I tried would have been back in the end of 2013. I went to Thailand and I remember this very vividly. Me and John Barch he was the advisor, one of the two advisors for the Thailand trip that I was on. And we were walking down this dirt road at the what was that called? Gosh, I can't remember what it was called right now, but wherever we were walking down this dirt road and we were just chatting, having conversation. He had an orange and the topic had come up how I never had an orange before. And he goes, oh, you should have this orange. Try a piece. So he gave me a piece of the orange. I tried it and I really liked it. And so an orange is the first thing that I can remember trying and actually really enjoying. And so I eat oranges. I believe pineapple. I did have pineapple there because I've never had that fresh of pineapple or that good of pineapple ever since Thailand. Of course, because it's not being imported, but like
right. Still,
it was freaking awesome. But yeah, I mean, I just wrote a list the other day if you want to hear the list of what I've been trying and liking.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Hold on.
But I'm baffled that you made it so long in life just refusing to eat fruits. How'd you never get scurvy?
Well, and it's too bad my grandma's not alive because she would be very impressed that last year, at 4th of July, I was at a friend's house and they made corn on the cob and, it's not anything against Leanne that I won't try stuff with her. I don't know what it is, to be honest, but I feel like when I'm around other people and they're like, here, try this, I have to do so to be polite. So for example, 45 minutes before we started recording this podcast, I ran into one of my coworkers while she was sitting outside on her patio and she went inside and her husband said, Trent, come up here. Taylor just went in to get something for you. And I said, is it cash? And he goes, no, she's inside preparing it. And she walks out and it's a piece of bread and it's got stuff on it. And what it had was fresh mozzarella, tomato, basil, olive oil, and balsamic vinegar. And I said, ugh. And I tried it. I hated it, but at least I tried it. When I was in New Orleans, probably about 5 years ago now, I tried oyster and I loved it. So it's just being with other people. I feel like I'm more open to trying things. I was also drunk in New Orleans when I tried.
Well, everyone is.
Oyster, but.
While you're looking at that list, you know, first off, those are the ingredients of a caprese salad. And I know that because my wife taught me.
It is. That's what they said.
I learned that one pretty recently too. Don't feel bad. I also thought it looked really weird, but it actually isn't that bad. But I do have to wonder if it's like, you'll try foods for people other than Leanne is it spite? Which I never really pictured you as a very spiteful guy. We're on the Trent Speaks Spite Cast right now. refusing to eat the corn. And don't eat what Leanne wants you to. Cause again, like what is marriage if not like a lifelong opportunity to continue to annoy one person?
Well, I don't know if it's spite. She gets so mad at it. Like if she was here, she'd be getting worked up right now and super pissed. And I tell her, I said, Leanne, it's nothing against you. And she goes, well, clearly it is because I don't know why I can do it with other people, but I really couldn't tell you what it is because she's even said she was here for a week and twice she tried to get me to do something. I was like, I don't really want to try that. Like, I just don't want to. And she's like, just try it. I was like, no, like, I'm really not in the mood to try it right now. So, I felt bad at Taylor's. I was chewing the damn thing. And she goes, I told you could spit it out. And I said, I don't think I can swallow it, but I feel like I have to finish this. And she goes, just spit it out. And so I was like, okay, fine, I'm going to spit it out. But I felt like I had to try it.
You know, at least for me, and maybe this isn't the case for you, but I think that, like, the idea of, like, trying a thing maybe isn't bad, but, like, any potential enjoyment that I may get out of that, like, in the seesaw that is life, the value of the potential enjoyment of trying this thing versus the guaranteed enjoyment out of, like, annoying you by saying no, like, I'm going to take the guaranteed.
Well, and sometimes I think it's also the piece of, like, me being wrong. So, like, let's say you were like, Trent, try this apple, which is what Leanne tried to get me to do the other day. I also don't want to be wrong where I'm like, oh, wow, you're right. I really do like that. And she's even made comments how the dog's healthier than me. She'll give the dog an apple and the dog will eat that thing right up.
But to be fair, dogs also eat out of cats' litter boxes and all sorts of other things that I would never eat myself. So let's not judge ourselves on whether or not we eat the same things dogs do.
That's true. I did find the list. Before I go down this list, I do want to give a shout out to my friend Margaret, which is actually Travis's wife, because Margaret is probably one of the people that I can remember in recent history who has really started to open my eyes up to things in terms of food. And I say that because a couple of years ago, Margaret, I don't know why, loves me and always makes dinner when I'm there. And just the way she seasons her vegetables and stuff, I'm like to die for with these vegetables. Like, I could eat a whole pan of them the way Margaret makes them. So bell peppers she made, and I was like, wow, these are so good. So that was the first thing that I really started to like. So that's on the list. The other thing I see on the list that made me think of Margaret was the last time that she made a meal and we ate together, asparagus was another really good one. So asparagus is on the list. Those are two things, bell peppers and asparagus, that I've had recently. Other things that have made the list recently because of my meals with Kayla is Brussels sprouts, when they're prepared correctly. Watermelon has a little bit at a time. I can't do a lot, but I can nibble. Something's better than nothing. Corn on the cob, as we had mentioned. And then broccoli, actually.
Little trees.
So the list is small, but something is better than nothing, and it's all about baby steps. But you know, man, corn on the cob, I freaking love that shit.
I hate pulling it out of my teeth. When you first brought the list out, I thought it was going to be like, maybe we'd learn, like, you have an aversion to certain textures or like certain flavors, but it turns out that you just really hate fruits and vegetables, but you're learning to like them.
Oh, well, actually, it's funny you bring up textures, because that's what Taylor just asked me about the tomato. She said, what is it that you don't like about it? And I said, I think it's the texture. And that's the same thing with bananas. It's the texture for me. It's too mushy. Yeah. Danny actually asked me, he said, well, like, do you like other banana flavored things? Like, have you had banana cream pie? I've never had that, but I do like other banana flavored things. Like, I love banana Laffy Taffys. Those are
because they're chewy.
Yeah, they're good. He said those are the worst flavor. What a loser.
That's sad. Yeah, it's actually like in caprese salad, it's that mozzarella. So maybe you just really don't like mushy things.
I like,
because I would explain like the watermelon is like okay, which is also sort of mushy.
Yep.
So maybe that's it. Who knows?
Oh, salmon. I like salmon.
Salmon's a good one.
Yeah. It's not a fruit or vegetable, which is why it wasn't on the list.
It's still brave. That's the thing, maybe I think hard pressed to get a child to eat, which is sort of what I'm judging you against right now.
Understandable.
So proud of you.
Understandable.
So discussion about food leads me into a question that my family has discussed in the last couple of days. And by the last couple of days, I mean this morning. So I have a group chat that is my wife, my sisters and their partners, and then my cousin Chuffer and his fiance. I'm sure that you're probably in a similar group. But today we were talking about Is chocolate a candy or is it like a separate thing?
Wow. Your family sounds a lot more fun than mine. I want to be in a group chat like that.
Exactly.
Wow, what a fun group chat that you guys discuss that stuff. My group chat is my mom saying, forgot my phone at home. Call Keith if you need anything.
Well, my parents aren't in this one because we probably have more stuff like that. But, you know, in your opinion, is chocolate a candy or is that like its own separate category?
What else would it be?
Well, according to Katie, like chocolate isn't candy. It's just chocolate.
Well, what is the definition of candy?
Well, see, I don't know, because to me, like, chocolate is a candy, but apparently my wife thinks otherwise. Maybe she thinks it more of as like a flavor or an item in and of itself. I couldn't really say.
I guess it's a coin flip because I can see both sides of the argument here. I'll give my answer. This isn't a roundabout like answer. I'll give my answer, but I'm just saying I can see how it's a candy because it's a delicacy.
Yeah.
But I can also see it as a flavor as well, because it is. So I guess it depends on how it's being classified. But I would say a chocolate bar, such as a Hershey, which isn't that good when you compare it to a like bean to bar. I would argue that a chocolate.
You can't make up your mind. You're just buying time.
Yeah, it's a very good question. We should do a poll on that.
We should. You know, now I think about it, I'm thinking that maybe it's because Katie primarily eats dark chocolate that she considers chocolate to be like a separate category, because like candies are more like a sweet thing, perhaps.
I am going to Google to find candy.
Okay. While we're on that, do you have a favorite candy?
Oh my gosh, yes I do. I love, and you know, it's getting harder and harder to find. I love cookie dough bites.
I haven't seen those forever outside of movie theaters.
Yeah, they're very hard to find. The only reason I'm thinking about that is because I just saw them at Walgreens today. Walgreens should really be paying me for how much I'm dropping their name in this podcast right now.
Hitting up for sponsorship.
Crown Royal. I've had hands before. I'm waiting for these companies to hook me up. But yeah, cookie dough bites would by far be my favorite. Do you have a favorite candy?
Oh yeah, Skittles.
Oh yeah,
for sure.
Are so good. They're so bad for you, but they're so good.
Right. I also like sour things a lot. So like, I love lemon heads.
Like Sour Patch Kids.
Yeah. Like my favorite candy, like implying sweet, is going to be Skittles. But like my favorite like junk food is probably lemon heads.
Okay.
Do you have a least favorite?
Oh boy.
Or is there just a whole realm of bad because you're so picky?
Yeah, I used to not like Junior Mints, but those have really grown on me lately. I don't like mint chocolate chip ice cream, but I like Junior Mints. I know that's like a really like weird parallel to make, but I was just thinking of mint for some reason. A least favorite candy. I would probably say just off the top of my head right now, okay, I used to be a really big fan of these, but I think it's just the whole like getting stuck to my teeth thing, Milk Duds. I used to love Milk Duds, and it's not that I wouldn't eat them, but I just don't like that they get stuck to my teeth.
That's fair. Kind of surprising that you like Laffy Taffy, but not Milk Duds, with the argument that they get stuck to your teeth.
Well, the caramel, I think, is worse. Oh my gosh, our favorite candy. I forgot about these. What about the caramels that have the white frosting stuff in them?
They're okay. Those are pretty far down my list though.
Oh, those are so good. By the way, can I just get off this Chrome screen here? I'm just going to read this. Candy is a noun It's North American. It can be a noun or a verb, but the noun version says a sweet food. I was looking at the word fruit, which is why it took me so long. A sweet food made with sugar or syrup combined with fruit, chocolate, or nuts. But then it says a candy bar.
I don't think that actually answered our question at all. It just made it more confusing.
It's chocolate candy. That's the number one thing Googled. Chocolate is not, this is according to the Rocky Mountain Chocolate Factory. Chocolate is not actually candy, but a lot of people refer to it as such. In the modern era, chocolate is consumed in the same snackable way that candy is eaten. Historically, making and consuming chocolate was a much more complicated process. Today, it's more acceptable to consider chocolate a subset of candy.
I went ahead and sent that to my family chat now that you've reopened this can of worms for us.
You're welcome.
So, do you have a favorite road tripping food, which is probably still a candy of some variety, in my opinion? You know, if you're driving all the way home to see your family, like, what is going to be your sugar fuel for that trip?
Yeah, I would say a good snack food is definitely the cheddar trail mix, the cheddar one. Chex Mix, not trail mix, sorry. Chex Mix, because there's a difference.
Those are pretty good. But like as far as like when I'm thinking about like road tripping, I'm always afraid of like things in empty bags like that, so they'll fall. So I'm a little bit more of a Spreeze guy when it comes to road tripping.
All right, that's fair.
Only unravel what you need. These are the questions that people come to the Trent Speaks podcast to find answers for.
Hopefully Mentos. It's been a while since I've had, I'm not saying that for my road trip, but I just made me think of Mentos. I used to have Mentos all the time, and I don't remember the last time I had a Mento.
I don't know the last time I ate Mentos. Dropped in a few Coke cans before. Who knows? So one of the other big topics that I want to delve into here, and actually it's my last big topic, is sort of your approach on your relationship with your wife. And I actually didn't warn you about this one before. So I think that like relationships are like a really interesting balance of like, when should you support your spouse? When should you help them? Like, how do you navigate those relationships? And so I'm kind of curious, like, what is your philosophy on like relating to your wife? Because like you tell us, like when she asks you to eat this thing, you like to just kind of like dig in at her a little bit. I'm like, no, I don't want to eat that. But then sometimes like you're just really supportive in like a really bizarre way. So like you have a girl dog and you let your wife name her Simba, which is just bizarre. So like, how do you decide when to like, Leanne, that's a terrible idea versus like, I'm going to do this thing to annoy her.
You know, what a question. You know, my mom has always said, pick your battles. That's been something that's always stuck with me. No, but I guess in all seriousness, I think it's really just having that conversation and that communication at where is there an opportunity.
I'm just so confused. The battle of what should we call this dog for the next like 12 years in public was less important than the battle of should I eat this thing right now for the next 30 seconds.
Oh, man. I feel like no matter what I say, I'm going to get myself in some sort of hot water no matter what I say in this situation.
Don't worry. I think I got us in all the trouble here.
I think it's really just having that conversation and having that communication piece. I think that's an area that we've done long distance for a long time and in some various different circumstances. And I think that's an area that we've always had to try and focus on is that communication piece. And so really just knowing like, where is that wiggle room to budge with stuff? I know how much she loves the Lion King and everything. And so I was okay with Simba. I think I'm the one who probably brought up like, you know, that's not a girl's name. And she's like, so, like, what's it matter? And I was like, okay, like, if you're okay with it, I'm okay with it. Like, it's just, I wanted you to remember that. It's funny because I just said to her the other day how our mutual friend Isaiah, that we used to work with, had brought up how we should get a male dog now and name it Nala. And that should be the next logical step, of course. Leanne laughed, but then she said no. I really think it's just having those conversations and knowing like where to budge and where to compromise and just kind of figure things out. This is a hard question to answer. I feel like it's hard because there's so many different like little things. Like what I mean by that is like me making a decision about whether or not I'm going to eat something might have a completely different mindset or thought process than us having that conversation about what are we going to name this dog for the next 14 years or so.
I guess that in some ways, if you decline to eat the food, that really only affects you. Whereas like the dog, like that affects both of you. And so like you are more willing to compromise or bend on a thing that like affects her own life moving forward. And maybe that's a good thing.
We'll go with that. Cause it sounds really good.
Yes, it does.
Maybe you've just found a ledge to get out of that hole that we dug.
Don't worry. I think I'm the only one with the shovel here. So is Leanne not there this week?
So he's taking a drink of water. She is not. She actually just left this morning. Oh. The morning that we're recording this podcast. Who knows when this will post?
Who knows? Probably in June. So what is that sort of looking like to like you had?
It'll post next week. Next week, actually.
So, but you had gone like several years trying to manage this like long distance thing. And then you moved down to Chicago. You're living together. And then you end up back in Wisconsin. Then COVID happened. And so she was able to stay with you for a little lengthier. And now you're kind of transitioning back into this bouncing back and forth. So is that like really impacting your job search or just your life in general? Like, are you starting over from last summer? Where do you go from here?
Yeah. So I guess we've always, I would say at least half, if not more of our relationship have done long distance. I graduated a year before she did from college. And I spent essentially the summer after my graduation, in Florida, and then in the Grand Rapids area before moving back up to start school, where we ended up living together again. We got married and lived together for about, not even a year, probably about 8 months or so. And then she was like, deuces, and went off to nursing school. We lived apart from, let's see, I would say the March of 2017 until I left here in June of 2019. We lived together again at my in-laws for 6 months, and then I moved back to Wisconsin. So yeah, I half to 75% of the time that we've been in a relationship, not in a relationship, but that we've been married, we haven't lived together. And so I think that it's really like challenged us, and tested us and everything. We've learned in areas that we are strong in, and we've learned areas that we suck in and that we need to improve in. Communication is one of those, that we've really been working on. That was an area that we kind of lacked in. It was kind of on both of our ends. It wasn't just one person's end necessarily, but really just trying to be more open with each other and everything. It's definitely affected us, especially moving into my in-laws. It's a whole different relationship at that point, because it's a married couple living with older roommates, essentially. But I mean, you got to do what you got to do sometimes. And that's just the way life is. And you figure it out and do what you need to do to move forward. For us, that means, I mean, we would love to move into an apartment and just do something different when I'm done here at the end of June. But you're right. It really just depends on what that job search and everything looks like. Most people know that I have no idea what I want to do in my life. And that's not something new. That's something that's been here for a while. And actually, hold on, let me grab my phone real quick and look this up. But that's something that it's been a large part of my life that I don't know what I want to do. And I don't know if it's that I don't know what I want to do as much as it is, I have all these different directions that I feel like I could go in my life and all these different things I want to try. So for example, last night I just registered for two classes at DePaul to go back to school for a master's of education, to go back and do high school English. However, I'm also in the process right now until they start hiring again next year to go to a face-to-face interview with Spirit Airlines for a flight attendant position. I had posted a post or shared a photo on my personal Facebook the other day that said, I'm going to regret this, but describe me in GIFs. And one of my best friends that I've known since my freshman year of college shared probably one of the most accurate ones that said, I am 100% certain that I am 0% sure of what I'm going to do. And then actually my buddy who married Leanne and I replied and shared a GIF of me digging my own grave. But it's honestly the most accurate one because there's all these different things I want to do. And even though I registered for two classes last night at DePaul, I don't know if that's what I'm going to do. I'm waiting to hear back on a job at a community college in student conduct. Really, our goal would be to get a house and to like have our own place and everything, have our two dogs that we're about to have and live our own life. But it's really hard if I'm thinking about going back to school, like how do I find a job to support living in an apartment and still support like us as a family with me, Leanne, and the two dogs. It's a hard balance to find. And you're right. Like COVID throws a huge wrench into completely everything right now. I mean, like, what does that plan look like? We have no idea, but I've always figured it out as I go. And that's something my mom has always said. She goes, you are very good at whenever you want something or whenever you're trying to figure out something, like you don't let anything stand in your way. You're very good at figuring out how you're going to do it. Like you're good at making it work. Like if you want something, you go for it. And so that's what I'm going to do. I don't know what I'm going to do in my life. I've job searched for a year. I've had two job interviews that for like full-time jobs, people can't see me do hand air quotes. And so I don't know why I did that. But both of them have actually turned out. One I actually did, the other I caught because of the first experience, but it was a scam actually. That I almost walked right into after I did some more research on the company. Apparently those are the only job interviews I can get right now. So if you need an extended car warranty, reach out to me. I'll take your money and I won't give you anything for it. But yeah, I don't know. It's really just going to kind of depend on what this job market looks like. My mom just told me she talked to a lady the other day who's from Chicago originally. And she goes, I will never go back there to job search because that market is so saturated, which is part of my problem, I think, in finding a job, which is why I'm like, all right, I'm going to go back to school. I'm going to find a different career path because I'm looking in a career path right now. I can't find anything. So I'm going to have to start trying to find something else, basically.
Yeah. You know, I think it's interesting that currently both work with like college students and like talk to them about transitions and like figuring out what are the next steps. And then a lot of them have the perception that like we have any idea what's going on. And so being that that's a lot of your audience to like come out on the air and say like, I've got no clue what I'm doing. and just kind of make it up as I go and find the balance and have faith that it works out. Like, maybe that's good for them to hear.
Well, and I would love to be able to sustain myself just with the podcast. Well, you can't make money podcasting unless you're some big Joe Schmo like Joe Rogan. So yeah, I mean, I do this because I enjoy doing it, and same with speaking. I would love to do more speaking and stuff, but that's going to be changing, and I'm in a few speaking groups and stuff right now. And I know with the unknown of the future, the people are already talking about how do you do virtual speaking and stuff like that. So yeah, I mean, a lot of stuff's changing. You and I talked a couple of weeks ago, and I don't remember if we had talked about this on the podcast or not, but you said, have we finally done away with the handshake? And I was just talking to one of my coworkers the other day, and I said, you know, this is a terrible comparison to make, and I would never say it publicly, but I'm going to say it. This reminds me of a 9/11. And I say that in the fact of the way that things changed. So not necessarily the specific date and event, but I remember my mom worked in the airline for over 20 years. She worked for Continental Airlines before they got bought out by United. And I remember when you used to be able to, in an airport, just walk through security. You didn't need a ticket to board the plane. You could go all the way up to the gate to say goodbye to a loved one. And my wife and I were just having this conversation a couple weeks ago in front of my sister-in-law. And she's like, wait, what? Like she didn't know any of that because she never knew she wasn't old enough or didn't understand what a pre-9/11 was like. And I remember after 9/11, all the restrictions and all the stuff that went into place because of that one event, all the security stuff that happened. And so my comparison is the fact of we see a pre-coronavirus, a pre-COVID-19 of here's everything that we're doing. You know, you're talking about the handshake and all this other stuff in terms of healthcare and everything. But I think that now that this event has happened and is currently happening afterwards, the college experience is going to completely change for the future. The way we do things, the way we interact with people, the way healthcare procedures change, whether people realize that or not, or are affected or see it or not, everything is going to change. And so it's just going to be interesting to see how it all plays out and what that different world actually looks like.
Yeah. I don't know. It feels like a watershed somewhat.
It almost feels surreal sometimes.
Yep. Like this is the world we're in now, but who knows?
Great question.
Indeed. I feel like I finished my whole list. I do have one final question that I would like to ask for the population at large. I just really want to get this on the record. The first time I was ever in your apartment, I think it was like October of the second year. Maybe it was November.
It was November because it was for my birthday and we thought you were about to walk in because we're like, where's Alex? He was so excited. But then my wife and my sister-in-law actually surprised us and walked in and we were still like, where's Alex?
I was there shortly after. But your Christmas tree was still up. And I remember being so excited. Like you put up your Christmas tree early and I could justify to my own wife, like we have to put up our Christmas tree now. But it turns out that you had left it up for the entire year. Since the last Christmas. Obviously, you wouldn't have a Christmas tree up right now because you moved into your current place after Christmas. But like moving forward in the world, do you plan to be a year-round Christmas tree guy?
If it was just me as it was when I was here, yes. Will my wife let it be that way? No. Yeah, so actually I moved here in 2017. I put it up actually mid-October of 2017, and it was up until probably May of 2019 is when we ended up packing it up. I had no problem. I think I was just too lazy to take it down, and really it didn't bother me being where it was. But I don't think Leanne would ever let that fly. She would want it taken down.
you know, I just don't see the problem with a little bit of Christmas joy in July, but
I don't either, because then it's, you don't have to worry about putting it up every year. Like, you can redecorate it if you want to. I don't know.
Who knows?
Can I just say it was really weird being the one who did the talking the most, because usually I try to not talk and I let my guests talk as much as possible. So there were times where I was like, I don't know, I feel like I've been talking too much. Like, I need to shut up now. But it, I don't know, it was kind of weird to be on this side of things.
I assure you that it was equally weird to be the host.
Can we talk real quick about how this even, you know, at the beginning, like, you did the intro and stuff. Can we talk real quick about how this even started?
Yeah. I mean, if you listen to the episode where I was the guest, I told people, like, if you get an idea, you should just do the thing. And then you posted, like, does anyone want to come online? And I saw that Isaiah said, like, bring me back for round three. And then I thought, like, oh, man, it'd be hilarious if I could get Trent to let me be the host. So then I did the thing, and I sent you the message. And it just turned out to be really popular. I don't know why. It was, like, the most Facebook likes I've gotten on a single post since my wedding.
So can other people have the opportunity to do this?
I think that they should. Whether they choose to interview you, maybe they have different angles they want to get at about who you are. Maybe they think that there's someone that they know that they can get in to talk if you would like to open up in that way. I have no idea.
I've done podcasts just me, myself, and I. So people could just do podcasts of them, themselves, and they.
I think that that could work too. I think that it really just depends on what the market looks like. But I don't know. I think that, like, I had the areas of view that I wanted to pick at, and maybe people will have their own areas. I think it's always good to know who your host is.
I accidentally took over at the end here, but I'm going to toss it back over to you to do your hostly duties, which I will say props to you, because the day before we were supposed to record, you sent, and I even told you this in the text, you sent the reminder text of, hey, don't forget, we're recording tomorrow.
You know, I just really leaned into the whole host title. Don't worry.
It works for you. You should do a podcast on gaming or something.
I don't think I have enough stories to tell.
I'm sure you do.
Maybe. I don't know. I'll consider it. Probably not, though. We'll see. Anyway, thanks for joining us tonight, Trent. I don't know how many podcasts you've listened to, but it's tradition that our guest for the evening does our sign out. Maybe there's a thing you want people to know, a lesson you wanted to take away from our talk. Do you have any thoughts? Take it away.
Well, hold on. So am I doing the sign off or am I giving thoughts? You weren't very clear there, host.
I think in this instance, I'm going to flash back to one of my favorite commercials of all time, of the young woman who's debating with her family whether they want hard tacos or soft, because, I mean, how do you choose? And she says, ¿por qué no los dos? Why not both, Trent? Why not both?
Well, so it's a lot nicer being the host and asking that question. And I know oftentimes I'll tell a guest, I know it's a good question. It throws you off, because now I am experiencing what it's like to be on that end and have it throw you off. Wow. A takeaway. Wow. That's a really good question that I ask. I would say a takeaway would be, damn, that's a really good question. A takeaway would be, it's okay to not know what you're doing. I think that there is a lot of unknown in this world, and especially now with this coronavirus stuff, who knows what's going to happen. I'm a person who, like, has anxiety, so I overthink and think worst case scenario about any and every situation. But I would say it's okay to not know, and it's okay to just kind of figure it out and make it up as you go. And there's nothing wrong with not having a plan, because sometimes that's the best way that things work out. So that's what I would say, I guess. You want me to sign off now?
I think so.
All right. Well, thanks for listening to the inaugural Trent Speaks Takeover podcast with your host, Alex Huffer. Join us next time for the continuance of this series. Hopefully, if you would like to join, please reach out to Trent and let him know that you would love to host a podcast, whether it's interviewing him, talking about your own topic, or interviewing your own guest. And Trent will be more than willing to coordinate that with you. Trent is speaking in the third person. Until next time. Yeah. Until next time, stay safe, stay healthy. Bye.
Perfect. Do you want to go play some Fortnite?